inside. Deep as the river. Oh.
Chapter 6. Teeth, Claws, and Ink. He did what? Jack hadn't seemed to be able to hold on to his resentment for long. Will had fallen back into place like a clog slotted back into a well-oiled machine. 3 years of resentment were the grease that seemed to slick their way. Will wondered if familiarity bred resentment, which in turn bred a good work ethic. They had no need to focus on anything but the job, and now the job had become a little more difficult.
He ate it.
What was it written on? Will asked.
Tissue paper. Toilet tissue, we think.
From what we can see on the footage, Chilton said that one of the letters passed to Lecter hadn't been opened by the admin staff. Was passed and sealed by mistake. He gets a lot of mail, apparently.
I heard all about it from Chilton, Jack said, looking unimpressed, whining about being more like his secretary than his minder.
When the security guard noticed him opening a sealed envelope in his cell, the alarm was sounded. By the time they got the door open and were down the hall, Lecter had the damn thing in his mouth. Swallowed it. It's gone.
Fuck.
Will rubbed at his face, livid.
Fuck. That's great. That's just great.
Starling? Jack asked. The young woman was sitting at a desk in the middle of the office, staring at the computer screen as it played over the security footage.
He takes his time, she said slowly, sitting forwards in her chair. He reads it carefully, right until the last second. When the guards arrive, he destroys the evidence, but doesn't touch the envelope. He looks like he knew, Will frowned. Let me see.
The footage was crisp and clear, enough for Will to feel slightly strange as he watched. Hannibal sat at his desk as if it were simply a working day and he was sorting his files. He found the envelope and did not hesitate, a beat before sticking his thumb into the corner and tearing it open in a swift slide. His eyes, as they read, showed curiosity and mild amusement. Then, as the sounds of running feet approached, Hannibal did what Will knew he would. He looked up into the camera and smiled, before pushing the note into his mouth. The stare cut into him. Will felt it as a physical thing against his skin. The sheer power of the man, even inside his cramped cell. He reveled in it. Knew that Will would see it. Knew who he was looking at when he'd looked into that camera.
Will he talk? Crawford asked.
For the right price, Will bit out acidly, breaking eye contact with the screen.
Christ, this is the last sort of thing I wanted him to have.
Meaning?
Power over us, Starling said. Will nodded sharply at her. Now he can make us dance. And that's if he ever gives us what we want. Will knew he was pacing, erratic footsteps taking him back and forth in an odd zigzag. He'll draw this out, make it last. Enough that whatever he gives us will be useless by the time we have it.
God damn it! This could have been it. Could have been the end of this. Fucking Chilton, incompetent bastard.
Will, cool it, Jack said sternly. Starling, I want you to get everyone down here. Price, Katz, have Zeller make time. And then I need you to go and see Chilton. Get everything you can from him. Maybe someone else will know something. The admin staff. They may be able to give us something.
Right away, she said dutifully, though Will could see the resignation in her actions as she left. She knew, just as much as he did, that it was a futile act.
Will, what's done is done. Now all we have is what's left. That's what we work with.
Sure, Will said, forcing himself to stop dead still. I know. I know that, damn it. The envelope. What about the envelope?
It's gone to Katz and Hair and Fibers, and Price for Prince. If there's anything to find, they'll find it.
Waiting was torture. The clock mocked him as it ticked by time, seconds, minutes, into the hour. Will followed the security footage of Hannibal around the building, watching as it was analyzed by the specialists, run through enhancement after enhancement, trying to see if they could make out the words through the reverse of the paper, catch it at the right angle, in just the right light. Halfway through one of the visual enhancements, Will had caught movement out of the corner of his eye.
He's talking, Will said to Hillman, the visual analyst. Hey, Lecter, his lips are moving while he reads.
Yeah, I see it. Give me 5 minutes. I need to call Gary.
Gary Fisher, a trained lip reader and audio tech, had joined them. The two men had sat, huddled together while Will leaned against the wall and tapped his fingers sequentially upon his jacket sleeve.
24 minutes later, they had given Will their results, looking distinctly displeased. "This is..." Will looked at the transcript and felt his shoulders jump. "Goddamn him. It looks like he's reciting a recipe for aioli." "Yeah," Will said. "It seems he is." There were photostats and audio CDs and close-ups and copies of originals, all taken in a fruitless effort to find out what was on the note. Will knew that there were only two men who knew, the Tooth Fairy and Lecter, and anyone else willing to play their game. Will took the lot to Zeller's office and waited. It turned out he didn't need to wait long. "Well, hello, stranger." He had always lumped them all in together, his colleagues and his business partners and the PDs he worked with over the years. "Everyone's so damn glad you finally leashed me," he used to tell Hannibal after he'd quit. Only it wasn't entirely true. Not truly. Alana Bloom was an exception to that rule. Another was Beverly Katz. "H and F," Will said with a quick quirk of his lips. Eyes still trained on the evidence bags on the table before him. "How've you been?" "God, there's a nickname I haven't heard in a while," she said as she stood by the door to their temporary office, "and could probably go another few centuries without hearing again. Sorry." "No, you're not, but that's okay." He looked up as she smiled. She looked the same as he'd last seen her, spookily so. Long black hair in a choppy cut, white skirt a little rumpled from living under her lab coat. He could see her sharp eyes taking in his full form, and knew she saw it all, the exhaustion, the fear, the guilt, the blank resignation. "How's your little one?" "She's good. She's, here, actually. In Washington, I mean. I heard. About the leak to Lecter." "Yeah. Thought most might have by now." "Safer in the home away from home, yeah? I know Marquez. She's good. Quick. Sharp. She'll do you proud." "I hope so. Did you see the article?" That had his attention. Will frowned, finding Katz's eyes and holding them. "What article?" "In the Tatler. Lounge is sniffing around again." "Oh, Jesus Christ," Will ground out, feeling his shoulders tighten. "Please don't stir up the Tatler. I can't stand that goddamn woman. The only other person who hates that rag more than me is Lecter." "Well, it seems we might be a bit late to that party. She's already got a crackpot story about you visiting Lecter at the asylum. Some corny headline. Even a picture of you with that guy. What's his name? He has the kid?" "Jeff?" Will frowned worriedly. "Yeah, that's him. Has a little spiel on him, too. I'm sure Jack will put a stop to it. Still, I think she's angling to get your attention." "She won't want my attention when she gets it," Will said darkly. "Maybe Jack can explain that to her." He would have said more, but for the interruption of 8 feet walking in past Katz and filling up the room. Starling looked purposeful but tired. Jack looked mildly harassed, but hid it well. Behind him walked Price, looking as if he would rather be anywhere else, and then followed Brian Zeller. Will took in his suit and the multitude of new wrinkles rumpling his forehead since he'd last seen him. "Will?" Brian said, with a smart, polite smile. "Been a while. 4? 5 years," Will corrected him, unable to make full eye contact. "Right, of course. Section head now, I see. Congratulations." "Yeah, well, maybe I would have taken that congratulations to heart last year when I got it. Sometimes I feel like it was a decade ago I was given this desk." He was smiling to joke, but Will could see the truth of it in his eyes. "You're not allowed to complain," Price said, taking a seat heavily and crossing his legs. "After all the bragging you got done?" "Thanks, Jimmy." Brian shook his head. "Good to know you still resent the hell out of me." "Sure thing." Price smiled jauntily. "Okay, so let's get this started," Brian said, ignoring the lure. No sooner had Will sat down than Jack came straight out with it. "Lecter's asking for you." "Of course he is," Will said. "Of course he damn well is. Question is, how do we play this?" "There's no way to guarantee that he'll talk, and, if he does, that what he'll give us isn't a red herring," Zeller said. "He's a well-documented and intelligent liar. He knows how to fool the polygraph and manipulate his tells." "I had thought," Starling spoke up. She hesitated for a moment when all eyes swung to her. Will wished she'd have more confidence in herself. "I had thought that if the Tooth Fairy sent Lecter correspondence, that he may have set up some way for Lecter to respond. If that's true, and we can find out how and when, we'll have the perfect setup." "That's a fair point," Will said. "If we can get it." "I've printed the envelope," Jimmy stepped in. "It's clean." Generic envelope, generic paper, Beverly said. Supplied all over the country. I did find traces of sponge caught in the fold. Think he might have used it so he didn't need to lick the seal. We've traced it to a company called Amoco. They do office supplies. I've requisitioned their sales for Atlanta and Birmingham for the past 3 months, but I'm not sure how far it'll get us. That makes sense. There was no DNA present in the seal, Zeller read from his report. And graphology told me it's a woman's handwriting. Blue Bureau. So he has someone to write for him, but someone who he knows won't leave any fingerprints on the envelope? Will said, frowning at the table. An accomplice? No. Seems too risky for him. He's shy. What he does is personal. So then a work colleague, maybe. Where do you wear gloves as part and parcel of your job? Museum archives? Photography development?
We can try and get a narrowed down list, Jack said, though he sounded doubtful. Until then, we're focused on Lecter as our best lead, but we don't rule out anything else. Will?
I say we let him enjoy his little victory for a while. I'm not pandering to his beck and call.
Could be risky, Jack noted.
He might make life difficult for us if we don't play by his rules.
Tomorrow, Will said, the slow filtering of an idea blossoming in his mind. It bit at him, gnawing at his moral standard. Give me till tomorrow. I'll think of something.
The rain was torrential. Will didn't think he'd ever seen monsoon rain like it in the south, on the dry east coast. He sat before the mirror in the bathroom, cold and shaking, listening to the rain batter the windows and roof. He had pulled the curtains until only a sliver of light remained, relishing the almost darkness. It was important to prepare. Goosebumps raised on his arms and legs. He stared at his naked body and felt as if his mind was disconnected from the flesh before his eyes. Ants across his skin would have been less irritating than the crawling itch that fished about his body, making his inside squirm. Will stared at himself and wished it would end.
"You still in there?"
came a shout accompanied by three loud knocks, his father's heavy hand. Will flinched at the noise and kept quiet.
"Better be ready in a half hour or there'll be hell to pay," his father warned. "Can't keep a suitor waiting."
The shower was excruciating and yet wonderful, the heat calming his shaking nerves. Yet the power of the water against his skin, a constant annoyance. He dried using a soft towel and a gentle heat for his sodden hair. His father had laid out a suit for him. Will ignored it, instead rummaging through his wardrobe for the softest thing he could find. A blue cashmere sweater he'd bought by luck at a thrift shop, and gray jogging bottoms. "I can't today," he said as he crept into the kitchen. His father was seated by the back door, the sound of the rain loud on the porch. He turned, disappointment in his eyes.
"Ain't got much of a choice."
"I'm not. I can't today," Will reiterated. "It's too close."
"You're not in full for another week. It'll hold."
"I don't feel right."
"Will you stop worrying, boy? You'll be fine."
The itch of his heat had crawled into his brain and began to move around, irritating his thoughts. "Don't want to do this. Don't make me do this," was all he could think. It was easiest to simply sit down at the kitchen table and wait. The hard wood sore against his sensitive skin. When the knock finally came, it was at the front door. Will watched as his father stood up and walked into the living room, heard the door open and the sound of voices. He relaxed for the few minutes he had, closing his eyes and remembering how he wanted this to go. Then, Will caught a hot, crisp, almost savory smell on the air. His pupils widened and his mouth fell partly open. When the group of people eventually walked into the room, his father, a tall woman with red hair and an older man dressed in green, Will could only ignore them and stare at the fourth. He was about heads with him in height, dark hair, almost black, with tanned skin beneath, blue eyes and a passable face above a strong jaw. He was wearing a white polo neck and brown chinos. There was an air of authority around him that Will hated on sight, yet the focus of those blue eyes was almost enough to send him over the edge, and the smell coming from him a close second.
"This is my son, William."
The sound of the unfamiliar name broke his reverie. His father only called him as such when being formal. Will managed to glance at the pair who had accompanied the young man, clearly his mother and grandfather by their genetic similarities. Will had always prided himself on his powers of observation.
"Nice to meet you," Will mumbled,
bringing his arm up around his torso and avoiding their eyes.
"He's awful shy," the older man commented bluntly.
17, you said?"
"That's right,"
his father said warily. Can I get you anything?
No, thank you, the woman smiled. She seemed more personable, yet Will could see the same businesslike manner in her. Maybe we could sit down and have a chat.
Right, of course. Maybe the living room. His father had never been the best of hosts. Why don't we leave the young ones to get to know each other?
Will looked at his father, eyes intense with worry. His father avoided his gaze. He listened to the voices retreat into the living room and tried to make himself look small, inconspicuous. It was difficult when he was one of the only two in the room. The sound of a cleared throat drew his gaze. He found himself looking at a set of pink lips, smiling lightly, as the other man sat down across from him.
You know, my mom likes to make grand entrances, the man said, his voice cultured and refined, yet casual. New England with a hint of Boston in his eyes. But she's not so great at the introductions. I'm Max.
Will looked at the hand as it was extended to him. Reaching up to take it was both a task and an exercise in restraint. There was a visceral need to grab the hand and run his nose along the delicate skin of his wrist, to drag in more of that intense scent. Instead, he shook it weakly, retracting his hand as if the touch had burned.
Will.
So I gathered. The man sounded amused. I saw your picture, but I'd never have guessed you were 17. My mom's been looking for a while, you know, for someone suitable. I guess your dad has, too. When Will stayed quiet, he continued. You just finishing school?
Finished, Will said, linking his hands together. I went in a year early because of my birthday. It's just after the cutoff date.
Right. Max's smile turned charming, showed teeth. Will felt the need to roll his head, show his neck. The thought was sickening when he intercepted the reflex. Oh God, I'm doing it, aren't I? The thought made him hot under the collar.
So you planning on college?
Not sure if you read my proposal.
Will shook his head.
So I guess I should just tell you, huh? I'm 22, studying at Yale.
Law? Will interrupted, avoiding the question.
Yeah. Max laughed. The sound sent a shiver up Will's spine. It wasn't a nice sound. Everyone always gets it in one. Will felt the itch begin to scramble. He drew in a deep breath, and, in a longed-for moment, felt himself relax as the suppressants he'd taken an hour before finally kicked in. The shivering in his limbs abated. His pupils retracted. The itch in his skin stuttered out of existence. He smiled attractively. Staring into those blue eyes was a hell of a lot easier when he felt as if he was suddenly stalking the predator instead of at its mercy.
You're a long way from home, Max.
The change was obvious. He knew it was, because Max didn't look so very sure of himself anymore.
Yeah, he said. I'm from Boston.
Will interrupted. Max frowned.
That's right. If you didn't read my proposal, how'd you?
It's all there in your vowels.
That's a neat trick, Max conceded, even though his eyes said that he wasn't impressed.
Young alphas usually weren't when their dominance was brought into question. It never paid to be a clever omega in the wolf's den. Only Will never considered himself in the wolf's den.
Not a trick. Will leaned back in his chair and couldn't stop himself from letting his legs splay.
He saw Max's eyes jump down, his nostrils flaring.
Just observation.
What's the 11th Amendment?
What?
Max looked cut out. I asked you what the 11th Amendment is. You said you're 22. If you're taking the JD law at Yale, then that's 3 years. You should be well into it by now.
Wow. And here I thought I was on a holiday, Max said, his smile no longer reaching his eyes.
But now comes a pop quiz.
Okay.
How about redressability? Will said, unable to hide his condescension. Max bristled visibly.
No?
The collateral bar rule?
Wow. Nothing, huh?
You know that's rich coming from a down-home little country boy fresh out of school.
Oh. So the claws do come out.
Will smiled, shark-like.
You like to play games? Max smirked. I can deal with that.
Not the sort of games you'd enjoy.
Oh, I don't know. I think I can read you pretty well. Like playing up the poor little omega for daddy, yeah? Only you don't smell quite right. Suppressants?
I'm guessing you recognize the smell because you get it a lot, Will said, still smiling as he narrowed his eyes. Probably all the potential mates wearing blocker pheromones around this one. He must be a real charmer.
Well, I never get any complaints, if that's what you're insinuating.
Oh, I don't insinuate, Will said bluntly. In fact, I'm thinking you're either a terrible candidate for attorney or your rich parents bought you a spot.
What did you just say?
He breathed out, as if the man had never had a brazen insult leveled at him in his life.
Or, maybe, you're just coasting on good looks. I wouldn't hold out for more on that front. Let me guess. The boys and girls let you buy them drinks, but it never goes farther than that. A constant best friend basis. Your lecturers tolerate you, but you're never selected for placements, projects. You get passed over for questions. And there's a niggling sense of doubt in you, somewhere deep down, worries you might never succeed at what your father did before you, and your grandfather probably did before him. Maybe even your mother? Max flinched. Ah yes, a family of barristers and their disappointing child. Will could remember seeing two men argue in a bar when he was 12. Unable to hear their words, he'd made do with sitting by his father and watching. The look of unmitigated rage in their eyes had frightened him then. When they'd thrown fists, he'd gripped his father's arms and stayed close. The violence and the hate too near, as if he could feel the heat of it against his skin. Now, he was no longer scared. When the same violent hatred seeped into Max's eyes, Will simply returned the stare with casual indifference. Which is why you're here, right? To make your mark. Get through with a reasonable degree, which you certainly don't deserve, and make your mark. I'd make a damn good trophy, wouldn't I? Unless, of course, there's another reason you've traveled hundreds of miles to claim me. I'm beginning to wonder, Max said, with a tightness to rival taut piano wire. I knew your proposal was too good to be true. Always the damn same. Too clever for your own class. Don't know your place. Oh, I know my place. It's taking your degree and your job and doing it better than you ever could. You son of a bitch, Max said quietly, furious. The smell intensified. Will had to resist the urge to throw himself at the man's feet and rub his face against his knees, even with the suppressants coursing in his system. Breaking you is going to be so damn sweet. Right, Will smiled, reaching forwards. Except I'm pretty sure. He took Max by surprise, grabbing a handful of his obvious erection and squeezing. That you don't have the equipment. The blow was what he'd been waiting for, stark and hot and ringing against the side of his face. Will fell from his chair, pulling it with him in a clatter. He could taste the blood in his mouth, hear the sound of feet, could see Max standing over him as his vision blurred. The lustful rage in Max's eyes was perfect. Will whimpered, curling in and down, shielding his head. Please don't hurt me! You fucking piece of shit! Max managed to get one kick in, square in the solar plexus. Will felt the wind rush from him, coughing and hacking. The blood from his cut lip dripped onto the floor as Max was hauled back by the older man, and Will felt his father's hands on his shoulders. Will, my God, are you all right? I'm sorry, he sobbed. Please, I didn't mean to offend you. You liar! He's a goddamn liar! I didn't! Max, shut your mouth, the woman said sternly. How dare you! How dare you! His father was shouting. Mr. Graham, I'm so sorry. He's never usually... The woman tried to placate. You talk to me like that again, I'll have you fucking dealt with. Max was still shouting. Get out of my house! His father roared. All of you get out! After they had gone, Will had allowed his father to console him, holding his son gently and telling him how sorry he was. That he'd never let his son be taken by an abusive, hot-headed young buck with no sense for propriety. Will had soon tired of it. He'd made his excuses, and his father didn't seem to have the heart to refuse him. Will stood in the bathroom and stared into the mirror, looking at his split lip. He rubbed tenderly at the spectacular bruise that was beginning to blossom at the top of his abdomen. It had been worth it. Another bullet dodged. Will Graham smiled and brushed his teeth.
The house was quiet by the time he arrived. Will checked his watch and sighed. 2:30 in the morning. He chewed at his lip and considered waking Ellie just to see her sleepy eyes and her smile. She would hug him and ask to sleep in his bed, and he could tell her a story as they drifted off. He decided against it as he climbed the stairs to the front door. He wasn't in a fit state to see her face, to fall back onto the domestic side. Too much dark work on his mind. Marquez answered the door, efficient as ever. He was beginning to believe Beverly's hype. The woman was professional, even when woken at an ungodly hour. His room felt cold and empty. Will took off his jacket and draped it over the back of the lone chair, towing off his shoes and putting them by the door. Then he lay out flat on the bed, on top of the duvet, and thought about things as rationally as he could. It didn't help. Will closed his eyes. Hannibal's intense stare from the CCTV camera waited behind his eyelids. "Your move, dear Will," they said. He frowned, feeling his heart race with hate and anger and resentment, and not a little bit of sheer, blind excitement. Will had always found it difficult to resist Hannibal's dares. "He's taking whole families," he reminded himself. "He'll kill again, and it will be worse. So much worse. This is bigger than just you." Will pulled his mobile from his pants pocket and dialed. He could hear the faint ring from down the corridor. It rang 5 times before it was answered. "Hey," Jeff said. "You sound awake." "I am awake. Have been awake. Haven't been to sleep, I mean. When did you get in?" "About 10 minutes ago." "Jesus, they're working you ragged." "I'm okay. I am. Did Susan come get Anthony?" "Yeah, she did." Jeff sounded a little tight. She said to say she was sorry. "What? What for?" "For calling you a fucking asshole." "She called me that, huh?" "Yeah, then she said she was sorry." "Well, I guess that makes up for it." "Always make them think it's their idea," his training told him. "And then you won't be open to suspicion." Will felt like shit for even thinking it. Jeff's voice was tired but resolute. Will wished the man knew him better. Then maybe he would have left with his wife when he had the chance. "So, you're still here." "Didn't I say I would be?" "You did, I just." "You're real paranoid, you know that?" "Yup." "And you sound like crap." "I'm lonely." "Uh-huh." "And horny." "I'm in the next room." "So's Ellie, across the hall. Marquez is in the other." "Then we'll have to be quiet," Jeff said in a blunt yet teasing tone. "Won't we?" "Hook, line, and sinker," the voice said. Will flapped it away with an agitated hand, and then felt crazy for doing it. "I don't remember being loud with you before," he said as a distraction. "You don't remember much from before at all." "True." "Neither do I. Maybe we should rectify that." Will laughed quietly, desperately. It was an old joke, only really a half-joke, between them. Will remembers touches and kisses, and pushing down guilt and resentment, and wanting and needing so badly that it had driven them together. And he knew Jeff did, too. "What are we doing, huh?" "Each other. Hopefully soon." "God!" Will laughed again, louder this time. This is crazy. "Let's do it." Sneaking through felt like betrayal, though he wasn't sure who to. Truthfully, he was beyond giving a shit. Ellie was asleep. Marquez was a grown woman. Susan had left Milo, and Hannibal could go and choke for all he cared. Or at least that's what Will told himself. He was painfully aware of the man he'd left off of the list. Will didn't want to think about that, so he didn't. Jeff was lying half propped up against the headboard on the single bed when he entered. Duvet kicked off. It was crammed into the corner of the gloomy room, dark but for the bedside lamp. Jeff's rumpled white t-shirt caught the light, riding up over his gray boxers, showing a strip of tanned skin. Will thought he looked a little bit irresistible, casual yet out of place. His right hand was stuffed behind his head, and at his left was a worn copy of Foucault's Pendulum. There was a warm smell of hot metal in the air, coming from the electric radiator by the cupboard. Will leaned against the wall as he shut the door. Suddenly, it was difficult not to feel awkward. In their previous encounters, few enough that he could count them on one hand, alcohol had made it seem easy. Now, not so much. He nodded at the book. "Heavy reading for the occasion," Will commented. "It was the first thing I grabbed. I'd forgotten about that damned bed." "Yeah? More than enough room," Jeff said, his smile a little lopsided and reticent. He folded the page he was on and put the book to one side while Will sat down by his feet. "You know, I wasn't entirely thinking clearly, because I could have sworn on the phone a couple of minutes back you were talking about fucking." Will laughed, and Jeff's smile widened. "But this might be kind of difficult, or have you?" "These nice little pills I got a few months back," Will interrupted, reaching out to run his hands up Jeff's left leg. The blonde hairs there rising at the touch. Their eyes met. Reflex suppressants. Never had the chance to try them out. He skipped quickly over the part where he was sure Jeff wanted to ask why Will had bought them at all. "Beats being drunk any day, huh?"
"I don't know," Jeff swallowed. "Guess we better find out."
"Sure you're okay with this?"
"Shit, Will. You're driving me crazy sitting over there. Come here, and take off your damn clothes."
It took less time than Will had expected. The kiss had led to being pulled forwards onto the bed, had led to slowly being slipped from his clothes, had led to running his hands over hot skin, had led to the two of them rutting against each other,
panting, trying to stay quiet. It had all fallen down to instinct. On the slim bed, he'd slid into the lordosis reflex without thinking too much about what it was he wanted and from who. Jeff had taken the hint. Kneeling behind him, Jeff rolled his hips forward, closing his eyes and gritting his teeth as he sank inside. Will gripped the sheets and breathed through his nose. "Fuck!" Jeff said in a loud whisper, as he pushed forwards and Will's fingers curled tighter and tighter. "Fuck!" Everything spiraled back to memories deeply implanted, of Hannibal embracing him as they made love. The rabid red scratch marks along his thighs when they'd mated in a rut. The sheer wanton need that came over him whenever he caught scent of Hannibal during his heat. Of his mate losing control and allowing Will to watch. To see. To be with him at his most vulnerable. Memories of easier times, because, back then, the world had been simply them and nothing more. No more had been necessary. Now, here, the world seemed to be crushing down to that same bubble. A pinprick of existence caught inside that sparsely furnished second-floor room in an FBI safe house in Washington. Will felt that years of near celibacy also hadn't helped. "Need you," he'd pleaded mindlessly. "Want you deeper." "Trying my best, hot stuff," Jeff breathed as he bent over, resting down across Will's back. Will could feel his breath tickling at his neck. "God, you smell fuckable." "Then maybe you oughta," Will breathed. "Way ahead of you." It was hot and fast, and everything Will wanted. For a moment, achingly white as Jeff came inside him, Will didn't think of anything but where he was and what was happening, a blind, mindless glory. Afterwards, they lay together, Will cradled against Jeff's left side, legs entwined, stuffed onto the slim bed, but seemingly unable to care about the lack of space. Will lay his head against the front of Jeff's shoulder. Jeff ran his fingers absently up and down over the back of Will's neck.
"Should shower," Jeff muttered. "That involves getting up."
"Yeah, sure does. So I'll take it you're feeling better?"
"More than better,"
Will mumbled through a regretful smile, reaching over to gently squeeze Jeff's spent cock. "Don't sell yourself short."
"Ah, son of a bitch," he laughed tiredly. "Don't, that's a, too much too fast, honey.
You think I'm asking for a second show?" "Second show might be tricky. Give me a half an hour and I'll do my encore." Will laughed again, sleepily leaning in to kiss the soft skin behind Jeff's ear, his left hand trailing up through the sweat-dampened hair on his stomach. I think the audience might have fallen asleep by then.
"Don't worry," Jeff smiled, eyes closed. "I'll wake you up."
It would have been pretty near perfect. It would have been, if Will had allowed it to be. Hosting a party of dullards, social climbers, and pseudo-intellectuals was both tiring and beneath him, yet, for the sake of Alana Bloom, Hannibal had decided to suffer it. It hadn't taken much planning, which was always a bad start. Hannibal admired strict and complex planning above most other things. The careful placement of pieces upon pieces, next to and opposite from others, with the correct levels of everything involved to create a perfect blend. The feast he'd hosted 3 weeks prior had been a prime example. The menu delicately formed from fish, flesh, and sweetness. With an array of like minds, a talented cellist, and wonderful freshness of blood for the black pudding in his starter. Jeremy Olmsted had been another perfect example. Just the right amount of replication in his brutality. Hannibal nodded politely to his guests as he passed through the crowd searching for the lady who had forced this unpleasantness upon him. Of course, one more chisel or railway spike would have been too much. Olmsted was a testament to his restraint. Hannibal smiled, remembering was almost as potent as the act. As he casually placed his hand on the passerby to steer them out of his path, he imagined the same force that had been needed to drive the chisel through Olmsted's sternum. It sang like a nightingale, melancholy but irresistible. She was easy to find because of the grating red hue of her dress. The value of the color was too high. Hannibal disliked it, but was too polite to say so. Alana was not interesting to him because of her dress sense, after all. If she had been, then he would never have even considered this party. She stood with her back to him, facing two other men, only one of whom he recognized. Hannibal smiled demurely and inserted himself smartly into the conversation as it lulled.
"I do hope I have not been neglecting you," he said, handing Alana a flute of champagne from a passing waiter when he realized she had none.
"Oh, of course not," she said, smiling widely, so eager to please.
Hannibal thought with amusement.
How should I resist? I did wonder where you'd got to.
So many lost souls to ferry, Hannibal said, nodding to Crawford. Jack, wonderful to see you out of your office. Isn't it?
Crawford grinned, looking to the other man at his right. Was beginning to think we'd become part of the furniture.
If I begin resembling a photocopier, I hope you'll have the decency to tell me, the unknown man said wryly.
The man was shorter than him by a few inches, yet seemed infinitely smaller in stature. His hair was an ordered chaos of curls and waves and rich chocolate brown. Beneath them sat a pair of thick-rimmed glasses, behind which he had intelligent gray eyes that refused to meet anyone's gaze. His suit was well-worn and unfitting for the occasion, a gray jacket and brown trousers with a cheap blue shirt beneath. In a sea of boring, repetitious people with little to no wonder about them, Hannibal found himself intrigued.
"How rude of me," he said, openly staring at his unknown guest. "I have not introduced myself."
"Oh, I should have," Alana said quickly. "Hannibal, this is Will Graham. He's a colleague of Jack's in the BAU. Will, this is Dr. Hannibal Lecter, my mentor."
"A pleasure," Hannibal said, inclining his head.
Will kept his stare somewhat around the rim of his champagne flute.
"Nice to meet you."
Hannibal thought Will trotted the nicety out like a party trick, as if to fool people into thinking he was capable.
"Will's been working with us on the Chesapeake Ripper case," Jack said. "Has quite the insight."
"Is that so?" Hannibal asked.
"Jack?" Alana said, with a subtle warning tone beneath her smile. "I thought we were staying away from Quantico tonight."
"I, too, have been marginally involved with this manhunt." Hannibal managed to say the words with a straight face. "Agent Crawford has been foolish enough to believe me an asset."
"Ha ha ha! You sell yourself short, Doctor," Jack said with a laugh. "I should really have introduced you to earlier. Shouldn't be doing this here, I suppose. Still, Will was sort of pulled into this with less enthusiasm."
"Ah, then you have been roped in, as they say," Hannibal said, looking to him.
"Just watching the goose chase from the box seats."
He could feel the dislike for the turn in conversation in the way Alana crossed one arm over the other, resting her champagne in a loose hand. Still, the intrigue beckoned him closer. There was a subtle scent to this man, this Will Graham, that was making the hairs on his arms rise, a subtle hint of rosewater in rancid skin.
"So you believe the hunt to be futile?"
"I didn't say that," Will said, still refusing to meet his eyes, though he had progressed from staring into his drink to looking at Hannibal's tie.
Lecter took it as a win on his part. "We're not incompetent. He's just difficult to pin down."
"I thought we were getting somewhere with Gideon," Alana cut in, sounding impatient and yet with a need to contribute. "The Ripper hasn't killed in 2 years, right around the time Gideon was arrested. Dissociative personality disorder, psychopathic tendencies. He's a prime candidate."
"Gideon's not the Ripper," Will said with a blunt surety.
"So you keep telling us,"
Jack said with a sigh.
"For one, he mutilated that nurse in the asylum post-mortem. The Chesapeake Ripper usually does that sort of thing during, not after. Also, he's conceited and fuzzy on some of the main points, trying to hide it under a layer of pretentious inscrutability. But most of all..."
Will took a drink of champagne and grimaced as he stared accusingly at his glass, as if he detested the stuff, but felt a need to fit in.
"He's just not that clever."
Hannibal thought he might have leaned marginally closer on instinct, breathed in a little heavier. It was difficult to fathom. Where had this wondrous creature slunk from? A vile den in the woods, far from civilization? That was how Hannibal Lecter saw Will Graham's mind as he observed him. For a few seconds, the rest of the room became dark, leaving them alone in a focus of eyes and scent. Will seemed to sense the subtle shift in Hannibal's intensity and cleared his throat. He shifted on his feet to put some more distance between them.
"Then you think Gideon needs to believe he is the Ripper?" he asked with curiosity.
"Well, it's certainly what somebody needs."
The scent sharpened. Hannibal thought his salivary glands may have secreted a little too much. He swallowed, turning his head away, back to the front. The scent was beginning to take form in his mind.
"Ah," he thought, "so obvious. How could I have missed it?"
The rancid stench under the flowery scent, a cocktail of suppressants hiding the man's identity.
"Then perhaps Dr. Gideon wishes to meet the true Ripper," he said, "to convince his psyche that it is not as splintered as he had been led to believe. A like-minded banquet.
I'm sure he'd just love that," Will smiled sharply,
keeping his eyes hidden behind his glasses and under a fall of chocolate curls.
"Maybe you could throw Chilton in there as well. Spice things up a little. The The Ripper would like that. Think I might, too. There was a notable pause. Hannibal thought he might want to reach out and touch him, make sure he was not an apparition of some sort. They all watched as the young man moved his eyes around between their feet, clearing his throat noticeably. Sorry. Will smiled grimly. No talking shop at parties. My mistake. I think I should get myself another drink. There was a tense silence as he turned and walked off, stiff-backed. Hannibal found it difficult not to stare, to watch every minute movement of his body language as it screamed in the crowded room. There was a fierceness to him, a want to be utterly alone within the horde. He turned back to find Alana and Jack Crawford looking elsewhere, rolling the stems of their glasses between tight fingertips. Hannibal found it almost irresistible to laugh out loud. Instead, he spoke, calm and pleased.
"A most intriguing perspective," Hannibal said.
"One way of putting it."
Crawford looked as if he were debating whether he should have denied it.
"One of my best profiles, but he's better in the background, if you get me. Not one we usually let out at social events."
"I see."
Hannibal felt his amusement rising. Such petty little fools. Eyes too narrow to see the world around them. He tested the name in his mind. Will Graham. Short for William, he was sure. A good, strong name for a scared, awkward, yet highly strong and independent individual.
Then,
"I invited him. I know him, through work," Alana explained. "He's a great guy once you get past all the awkward social niceties."
"I'm sure he is,"
Hannibal said, smiling into his next sip. He frowned lightly at Crawford.
"Though I must admit, Jack, quite a risk."
"He is a constant chore at parties," Crawford said with a soft snort.
"I was thinking more of his Omega status," Hannibal said bluntly. "This sort of work must be hellish for him. I am sure your psychiatric bills are through the roof. Perhaps that is how you know him, Alana."
He knew he was being stared at incredulously by both, each for different reasons. Hannibal took a moment to revel. It was always such a delight to see people struggle not to be shocked by his sudden lack of tact. Alana spoke first.
"Hannibal, that's not..."
She looked momentarily appalled. He looked at her questioningly, and she seemed to calm.
"Please don't start studying him. He really, really won't appreciate it."
"Apologies," he said. "I did not mean to cause offense. It is merely something I have picked up on. There was a fascinating article in Dynamics and Biology Quarterly, Mirror Neuron Affluence in Male Omega Physiology. It seemed they are truly susceptible to the inside of their own heads."
"I haven't read it,"
Alana said tightly. Hannibal found her jealousy mildly curious.
"I must pass a copy on to you.
I'd ask how you knew he was an Omega."
Jack started.
"But I am sure I would only be embarrassing myself."
Hannibal smiled demurely. He looked down, finding his glass empty.
"Ah, it seems Mr. Graham is not the only one dry at the watering hole. Please excuse me."
Going straight to the bar would have been thoughtless and naive. Hannibal made a point of steering away, following the vague scent of Will Graham through the crowd. It was difficult to follow in the mass of heady perfumes and aftershave, yet the bitter tinge to the air gave constant pointers. Eventually, Hannibal found himself at the door to the balcony. The air was chill. Graham stood in the corner, looking out over the bay with its bright lights and black water. The glow from inside was paltry beyond the glass, leaving the balcony gloomy. Backlit, he looked slightly unreal, as if he were simply a silhouette cut out of the night skyline. Hannibal walked forwards and stood to his left, observing the view. There was a good 3 feet between them. As the door swung closed behind him, Hannibal watched Will reach out over the balcony's edge, hand holding the shimmering champagne flute, and simply let go. 2 seconds later, a soft shattering echoed up from below, followed by silence. Hannibal felt a need to speak, but knew it was more telling to let Graham give his offerings first. He knew a power play when he saw one, and the thought made his mouth tick into a smile.
"If you've come to complain about my dress code, I hate to disappoint, but I'd rather jump," Graham offered eventually.
"And yet the paperwork would be truly drastic for such a dramatic overreaction,"
Hannibal said, looking down over the edge of the balcony. Below, the trees swayed in the dark. Beneath them, the concrete of the car park was a dull glow in the streetlights, littered with shards of glass.
"And I believe the fall would not kill you. A few broken limbs, perhaps."
"Now that would be disappointing."
"Such a morbid outlook."
"Please. I'm sure Alana's already said something. She likes to say something wherever we go." "Don't psychoanalyze me," Graham said, acerbically, through a smile. "You won't like me when I'm psychoanalyzed."
"I agree. I believe I like no one once I have psychoanalyzed them either."
A surprising and sudden laugh.
Graham looked taken aback by his own reaction, frowning down at the balcony railing. He looked up to his left. The gaze stuttered near his neck for a few seconds, and then, for a flash, caught his eyes and held them. Then it was gone, back out into the surrounding dark. Hannibal relished the sudden intensity of their connection through the simple act of eye contact. "If you think an ambush will work best, feel free," Will continued.
"Oh, I only ambush when I am hungry.
Come to feast? I don't think you'll find me that tasty."
"With all those suppressants in your system, I am not surprised."
"Makes life easier," Graham shrugged. "You should try it. Although I guess your lot don't need to reclaim your stigma."
"Your senses are certainly keen," Hannibal observed.
"I can smell you from here."
"I will take that as a compliment."
"Do whatever you like." "Oh, do not fear." Hannibal smiled as he leaned against the railing and felt the cold metal against his palms. "I always do." With that, he took his glass and held it out over the balcony's edge and, without hesitation, let go. He felt Will move forward slightly as the glass tinkled into pieces on the car park concrete. Hannibal Lecter watched Will Graham as he, in turn, watched the glass settle. Next to him, Will sniffed, folding his arms against the rail, and smiled as he leaned forwards. "Whoever leaves first, their tires are going to regret it," Will posited, sounding not in the least remorseful.
"Let's hope it is not your esteemed colleagues," Hannibal said,
tipping his head toward Will.
"That would take some explaining."
"I thought this was your party. You're a terrible host."
"I have insurance."
Hannibal shrugged nonchalantly. Another laugh, this time softer but more genuine. Hannibal did not risk turning his head to look for the reaction he had garnered. He did not want to douse this delightful little flame he had found, flickering in the dark. They stood together and talked for 40 minutes, or so Hannibal discovered when he checked his watch later. Will spent most of the time making cleverly snide remarks and laughing at Hannibal's retorts while Hannibal talked as if nothing were amiss. He enjoyed himself immensely until they were finally found by a rather peeved Alana Bloom. Unfortunately, neither of them had the tact to look guilty about their absence. There was a visceral delight in walking down the white-on-white corridor this time. Not the same as before, when his hands had sweated and he'd felt ill with the thought of how far he was from the man he craved like a drug. This time, there was vindication sitting beneath his sense of duty. Truthfully, Will just hoped his gamble paid off. He knew how sharply intelligent Hannibal was, how difficult he was to fool, and how quick he was to pick up on a ploy. There was no guarantee it would work. But then, there was no guarantee it wouldn't, either. When he sat down this time, it was with all the grace he was capable of, which wasn't much at all. Hannibal was seated at his desk, side on, clay in his hands. Will saw the fingers freeze momentarily, and, with a slick absolution on seeing the familiar gesture, Hannibal's upper lip jerked upward in a pouted twitch.
"What?"
Will was unable to stop himself from asking as he rummaged through the file he'd bought. "No clever quips about my aftershave this time?"
"I believe there is nothing clever to say," Hannibal said,
meeting Will's gaze. They held steady, watching. Eventually, Will spoke.
"Then what is it you want? You wanted me here. Here I am." "If only it were that simple."
"Sometimes it is. Only I think this might be the..."
"Wait, is it?"
"Yes. Yes, it is. The second time since you were brought here that you've requested my presence. Both in the past 2 weeks. Never before, and I doubt never after. So what is it, Hannibal? What do you want from me?"
"I would have thought that would be obvious, but then I am beginning to think I have made myself a paltry and predictable creature by asking you here. Is that what you think of me, Will?"
"I think you're wasting my time." Will stood and purposefully flapped his coat closed, making to button it up. The rush of air pushed towards his cell surely contained everything Hannibal would have been trying to ignore. The scent of another riddling Will's skin. Sweat, saliva, semen. Will knew Hannibal had almost unlimited reserves of patience and nerves, except for this unprecedented, and, on Hannibal's part, surely unwelcome chink in his armor. As a male Omega, Will had been forced to adapt to his environment, use his abilities to his advantage, learn to live with his biology and use it for his own means. As an overly privileged Alpha, Hannibal had never needed to. His arrogance was the only thing Will thought he had any good chance of exploiting, which was vindicated when Hannibal called after him and he walked off.
"So I take it you couldn't see my love letter?"
Will hovered on the verge of leaving, still facing the door. He licked his lips and put his hand to his hip, letting out a small derisive laugh. Finally he turned back and walked to his chair,
but did not sit. I never thought I would have seen you fall to such petty measures to get my attention.
Nor I of you.
Hannibal smiled as Will flinched. Or did you purposefully not shower because you enjoy reeking of another?
I don't really mind it, no, Will said tightly. Beats the ship on the bottle any day, huh?
I am beginning to regret my hasty review of your aftershave. I am starting to miss it.
And whose fault is that?
I'll admit, I did put a bit of a damper on our relationship. It was entirely unintentional. Not that you'll believe my sincerity, I'm sure.
You brought me here.
Will managed to stop himself from shouting the words, knowing it would be too much.
To tell me you're sorry?
That would be crass of me to do so. Does it seem likely?
You know, it kinda does.
Another wounded moment of my pride for the collection. I do keep setting myself up for your witty comebacks. Should I be keeping score?
Keeping score? Will hissed. You bastard. You utter bastard. Why is this all a game to you, huh? Why have I always been such a goddamn game to you? Why can't you just leave me alone?
Because you are mine, Hannibal said succinctly, his eyes hardening.
I'm not yours!
He knew he was shouting now, the panic showing on his face.
I was never yours! Don't try and play me, Hannibal! You'll get burned!
Oh, dear Will. Hannibal let out a small, almost inaudible laugh, his eyes crinkling. If only you could see yourself.
Shut up!
Such beauty in your chaos. Where has it gone? You seem so mundane now, beyond these bars.
I said shut your mouth!
All shades of brown and gray. You used to be so radiant. If you want to squander yourself in some paltry little beta, feel free. I hear he is an oceanographer. What a neat little family of wife and son. How quaint.
The words were like music to his ears. His anger flickered off like a light switch.
Will had them almost memorized. All the articles that had been written up in the past couple of weeks in relationship to the Tooth Fairy. Lecter and himself. He trained himself what to listen for. Hearing Freddy Lowndes' words come out of Hannibal Lecter's mouth was almost indecorous. Will would have made a quip before all of that had happened, and Hannibal would have berated him mildly, followed by a soft kiss. Would have. Here and now, Will was offered a unique and justified view. Hannibal seemed to have picked up on Will's sudden, calm silence. And then, in an utterly beautiful moment, Will saw the second tick by where Hannibal realized his blunder. There was a smile, sharp and impressed. Hannibal's eyes wandered around his cell, as if observing the life he had built there, but seeing for miles beyond each wall as he ran his gaze over them. When he finally looked back to Will, he was smiling in the face of Will's utter composure.
Enjoy your tattler this week, Doctor.
It is always an exercise in caution, conversing with you. I had forgotten. Have become dulled by the fools that plague me.
Maybe you can take some time and reflect on that, Will said casually. You've little else to do otherwise, it seems.
Hannibal stared at him as a starving man stares at a three-course meal.
You are a delight. An utter delight, Will Graham.
Oh, I know. Will smiled flatly. I know it. Hannibal's praise followed him out of the Baltimore State Asylum for the criminally insane like a bad smell.
Jack? Yeah? It's Will. It's the tattler. That's how Lecter was supposed to reply.
Yeah? No. I'm sure.
Believe me. I know. I know. I won't go anywhere near Lowndes. You deal with them, okay? I'll be back soon.
Standing beside his rental beneath the overcast sky in the shadow of the asylum, Will Graham drummed his hands against the hood and allowed himself to feel an all-encompassing hot, slick jolt of utter victory. No matter how fleeting.